The Blaze, episode 19 for River Shore Golf Links. And I'm really excited about this show here this week. Why? Couple of reasons. Well, Blazers playing in their best stretch of hockey right now all year. Three straight wins as they begin a new weekend. Four of their last five. How are they doing this? We'll break that down. We'll get some thoughts from some of the players a little bit later on in the show. We have a great guest, and one we are, I guess we'll say, is a timely guest because we've been really pumping the Olin Zellweger tires. We've been letting Zell cook in these parts. He will join us from Southern California, somewhere between Anaheim and San Diego here a little bit later on in the show. Can't wait for that. He comes off a great debut, a great set of games with the Anaheim Ducks. Olin Zellweger, our guest on The Blaze, episode 19. And the weather, hey, it feels like spring. Like, it feels like we could be at River Shore Golf here in a matter of weeks. We'll have to check in with Kevin to see just how far away we are, because it's been incredible here. The snow melting off, probably lots of water out there, but perhaps we can get an update. We might be going here. Could we be going in March, early March again here? We'll wait and see, but keep your eye on that. We'll keep you posted here on The Blaze as well. It is The Blaze. Let's get into it. It is episode 19 for River Shore Golf Links. Yeah, fan mail's pretty lit this week too. So is buying and selling a little bit later on. But let's get into the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs. Bry's Automotive and Customs, they specialize in car, pickup, truck repairs, restorations. Apparently, Danny is like a plant maniac. I saw something on Facebook where she really likes plants. So maybe, I don't know if you hear this, Danny, we're thinking about you, and we'll get you on the show here in the coming weeks ahead as we touch base earlier. So Bry's Automotive, they do custom paint and bodywork, engine work, full service automotive repairs. It's not just about, you know, the custom jobs. They do full service automotive repairs with over 60 years of automotive knowledge, and apparently a lot of plant knowledge too at Bry's. Okay, so how about this group? We're in the best stretch of the season. And it really, I don't want to say it came out of nowhere, but it really kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it? This after trading away the top three scorers at the trade deadline. Goodbye to Shea Van Olm. Goodbye, Dylan Sador. So long, Connor Levis. And, oh yeah, Fraser Minton, the team's captain, back in late November. So, like, what's changed? What has been the switch that has flipped? Big victory in Victoria to close out that weekend. Back-to-back against the Kelowna Rockets Friday, Saturday. What an overtime win that was Friday night. Nothing beats winning in Kelowna. You're up there in the press box and you got all the Kelowna people, you know, around you. All good people, by the way. You got their general manager, like about three booths down, and sometimes when things don't go right, you hear one of these from across the way, about 30 feet over. Did you hear that? That's me slamming the desk. It's like, oh, it's music to my ears. Love that. Love it. So it's nice to win in Kelowna, for sure. And then they do it again the next night, back at the Sandman Center. Build a 3-0 lead, and then hang on, didn't they? They hung on for dear life with that third period. Not going to lie, that was a bit tense. Last few minutes of that game. Then, and of course, it ends predictable. We had some tough stuff at the end. And again, it's division rivalry, so we can expect some of that. I asked a couple of the players, though. Like, what's happened with this team? Captain Logan Barrow says, first and foremost, they're having fun.
It's a lot of fun when you're winning. That never changes in any facet of life that you're in. But right now, things are working out for us, and the goal for us is to try to keep it going and try to get better every single day. I think we're playing a little bit more connected right now, a little bit maybe more as a team right now, and realize that we have nothing to lose, and we have to go after it every game.
Ashton Furster, how about his January? Another 20-year-old with his take on the situation.
Yeah, I think we just got more buy-in from all the guys stepping up, but maybe some younger guys figured out more of their game and their role now, and it's been going good here these last couple weeks.
So you got Furster, you got Emmett Finney, plenty of other players stepping up. They're scoring goals right now. You know, they put up six in Victoria. They put up, five or six in Kelowna the other night? I guess it was five. Three more. So, yeah, they're scoring goals. And a team that is very young up front. Very young. Does not have a 19-year-old up front. Doesn't have a 19-year-old on the blue line either. Only 19-year-old is Dylan Ernst. So now, can they keep this rolling into the weekend? Wenatchee here Friday night. And Wenatchee Wild, fourth and final meeting of the season set. Travel day Saturday. Team will head north to Prince George. Tough game Sunday at 2 against the Cougars. And how about the crowd Saturday night? 5,200 in the building. Great atmosphere. I said on the air, it felt like a playoff game. And things got chippy. We'll delve into that too. As I said on air that night, a little predictable, right? It was a little predictable. But this is the WHL within the rules of the game. It's all part of it. And this is a younger team that I think those are good experiences for. I asked, in fact, Blake Swetlikoff about that, about just how that game ended and some of those battles that you can get into. And that's coming up a little bit later on the show. And all of a sudden, the word playoffs being spoken again. The teams ahead have floundered. Spokane, Tri-City, Seattle somewhat. So the playoffs are back in the equation here. 7 points out to begin the weekend. Or at least it's something this team can keep chasing. Like, they're not out of it. Not out of it. And this recent stretch here has put them right back in the conversation. It's great to see. It really is. Let's see if they can keep it going. That's the opener for our friends at Bry's Automotive and Customs. Let's go on the move for Thompson Valley Charters. And I believe the need is still there. We've been talking about this now for a few weeks, maybe a month. They need bus drivers at Thompson Valley Charters. They have the hardware. They have the buses to get teams from A to B or groups or what have you, businesses, workers. They just don't have a full stable of drivers at the moment. So if you can help out Thompson Valley Charters, friend of the show, tvcbus.ca, Thompson Valley Charters. Okay, so here we go. Post-trade deadline is here. Not a lot of movement. Usually we'd use this segment to talk about trades or potential trades and all of that stuff. But there could be some movement, perhaps, on the Blazer roster as prospects start to make their way here. Usually what happens is one of those players, their team, their season ends. They can jump up with the Blazers now and maybe get some practices in or maybe even a game or two. So not quite there yet, but likely that's what we'll be seeing in the next few weeks here ahead. So watch for that. We're also watching our former Blazers around the league talk about the trades that were made. Shea Van Olm watched the game the other night, Spokane hosting Everett, and he scored a beauty shorthanded goal the other night. Connor Levis, bit of a slow start in Vancouver to begin with, but he had a great weekend. Had a hat trick in Victoria in a come-from-behind win. Of course, the Giants, they made the big moves. Added two 19-year-old forwards at the deadline. Connor Levis, Tyson Zimmer. And Giants general manager Barkley Parnetta, I spoke with him this week. And I asked him why they would want to add, given where they were, and also acquire a player like Connor Levis.
You know, the kids that we had were good leaders, but we brought some kids in, like Connor, who's been through a Memorial Cup, and everything I'd heard or know about him as a person really sort of hit the marks of high character, and he can help mentor these younger kids that really do need guidance, because as good as they have been, you know what, it's hard to figure out this league when they face adversity and maybe not necessarily where they're supposed to be. And these older guys that have lived through it are able sort of to relate to them much better.
And the Giants right now 7th in the conference with 7 weeks to go. Barkley talked about their playoff situation.
The 4-5 hole is a little bit further to attain, but that's where we're looking. We're looking up at the standings. We're not looking back. I think we have to in order for us. And also our fate's in our own hand. You know what? We've got to win our games that we need to win, and then we should be fine. We might get some luck where the odd night, out of conference team comes in and pops one of the teams that we're competing with. But at the end of the day, it's up to us to sort of steer our own fate and make sure that we're where we need to be. And that's what we're looking up ahead. Whether we get there or not, I we'll see. But I think we have a much better chance now with the recent acquisitions.
And by the way, that full interview with Barkley is on the other podcast or show we do, the WHL radio show. So I spoke to Barkley about the Giants, where they're at, And the Blazers aren't done with Vancouver. They'll see him here a couple more times. 22 Blazer games remain here, 13 of which at home, 9 on the road. And for the most part, the hard travel is over too. Like done in Spokane, done in Tri-City, done in Portland. So it's just Seattle, Prince George, Kelowna, that's a day trip. Langley, that's a day trip. Simple travel. We'll see if that helps the team here down the stretch. That is On the Move for Thompson Valley Charters. All right, it's feature interview time for Hydra Power Wash. So happy to have Hydra Power Wash on board for our second straight year, Hydra Power Wash. I'm sure this nice weather has Christopher ready to get into battle again here. Get after it. They specialize in heavy equipment and fleet washing, exterior window cleaning. Tis the season for that. They do full exterior house washes, moss removal from roofs. You can contact them, info@hydropowerwash.ca. Getting busy here likely or booking their spring. So get a hold of them. Text Christopher, 250-851-1072. If you missed that number and you're listening on the podcast, press that little 10-second rewind button. Catch it again. For all your washing needs, find them on Facebook and Instagram, Hydra Power Wash. Love our guest this week. I tell you, the Blaze podcast lately has just become basically a fan podcast of Olin Zellweger as we've watched his transition from AHL defenseman to NHL defenseman. He joins us on the line. He's somewhere between Anaheim and San Diego as we speak. Zelly, thanks for finally popping on the Blaze. Great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, where are you right now? You just played last night. You played the Sharks. You won an overtime. It's All-Star break. So, like, where are you right now?
Just finished All-Star break. Just started for the NHL. Heading to San Diego for a few quick matches.
Yeah. Have you ever just thought, like, this is, like, unbelievable? Like, American Hockey League in San Diego, NHL in Anaheim. Like, that, for me, Southern California is, like, one of the nicest places in the world, and you're just commuting back and forth right now. Has it hit you at all?
Yeah, you know, I enjoy the weather and everything down here. Funny you say that. It's raining right now.
Oh, shoot.
But, yeah, it's pretty fortunate to be in these two locations, and obviously on top of that, there's a strong fan base where they're pretty passionate in both locations, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome. When you get a call up from San Diego to Anaheim, like, what's the process there? Like, I know it's like on I-5, it's like an hour and a half or so, but like how do you commute to the rink, or what's the plan there when that happens?
Yeah, so when I was called up, they let me know, and they set up there's a team hotel that they have kind of set up, so I went there, and then getting back and forth from the rink, you know, I have my vehicle where I can drive and early to the rink if I want, or stay late if I want. So it's a pretty good setup and stuff.
Yeah, you're one of the guys that, like, you're like the last one out, right? Like, I know you were in Kamloops, you're like the last one out of the dressing room after practice. Has that carried on to pro for you at all, Zelly?
Yeah, I think it has. It's part of my day. I want to try to maximize it. And Kamloops, I was pretty fortunate to have that shooting area under the bleachers. Nothing quite like that here, which kind of sucks. But you know, I found some other off ice places kind of similar to Synergy in Kamloops.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's talk about that long-awaited NHL debut. We were beating the drum from day one that you're a full-time NHLer in our books. We saw your body of work here. You know, we saw your body of work in the WHL. It took a long time to get that call up. When it finally came, what was sort of the, like, how did you hear? What was the message delivered here from the organization?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We just played Abbotsford back to back up there, and then we flew back that day. It was kind of a longer travel day. We bused to the practice rink from landing in Anaheim. So we're in San Diego, and the coach pulled me in the office, and I don't know. I kind of just figured we'd chat about the game the night before, and then he kind of broke the news to me, which was pretty awesome, and I was really excited for that chance. And I called my parents and stuff, so that was awesome.
I saw them there in the dressing room after the game, your debut. What was your reaction? Like, I know you're a pretty chill guy. You know, I think my reaction was like, finally, like, probably should have been there from day one. But how did you take the news? Like, what was your thought when you finally heard that?
Yeah, you know, I think it felt extra good, because I felt like I kind of had to earn it and prove I could be valuable at the American League level before I even got a chance to be called up. So it was maybe a longer process to get my first game than some other players, but no, I think it went great, and I think I was better off for it. And these few games that I played, I definitely felt more comfortable, and I've gained a lot of experience defending, stronger and better positionally. So that really translated well over to these first few games, I think.
This show has followed you very closely. And I remember their coach in Anaheim, or I guess your coach, saying, he said the line, Olin has to learn to value defense like he values offense. And we sort of hung on to that a little bit, because we know that you were, in the WHL, a bit of a rover wherever you were needed. You kind of played your own game. Has it been an adjustment to pro hockey for you at all?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a problem that I couldn't, implement, that style here. I think it's just a matter of, earning that leash again, almost, where, you watch some of the top NHL defensemen, they kind of play, everywhere around the ice. They're active, really good defensively. So I definitely had to learn, or I had to improve on some of my positioning and some of my angles and body contact in the defensive zone. And, now that I think I kind of have that foundation set, I can really start to, expand and get more aggressive and active offensively.
There's a video of a puck retrieval that you had in Dallas recently. That was your second NHL game. You go back to retrieve. There's a little bit of forecheck pressure, and you sort of do this little Houdini, sort of like pull the puck through and avoid contact. Yeah. It was a thing of beauty. I don't know. Did you see that clip at all?
Yeah, a few people sent it over to me. So yeah. I wanted to try to, bait the guy in to get the puck and then flip out the other side. And I don't know, it kind of worked okay that time. Sometimes the guy just gets all of you, doesn't even worry about the puck. But, yeah, it was kind of cool to see that work out that time.
Yeah, it was great. On the last few episodes of our weekly show here, we've been having some fun with it. We've been saying, let Zelly cook. It basically is along the lines of, hey, let Zell play his game, right? But I know you just mentioned it there. You almost have to earn a little bit of what you said, trust, to get that leash maybe that you had in the WHL. So do you expect maybe more experience? You can maybe get back to that player that you were in the Western League?
Yeah, for sure. I have a ton of confidence, especially after those first couple games, that there's no reason I can't be a super good offensive player. So that's that was almost refreshing to feel. And I think that you almost got to prove that you can do both before you're really trusted and relied on. But there's also that other piece where you kind of just gotta, go for it and believe in your abilities and have that confidence, because if it's working out and you're helping the team win, there's gonna be it's gonna be a positive conversations, I think, with the team and coaches and players.
Yeah, well, I'll have my Let Zelly Cook shirt on here for sure. Watched your game last night. It was great because it was on the main Sportsnet network. You played big-time minutes. Like, that's probably the most you've played so far. You got a shift in overtime, and just as you picked up the puck after, you know, being in your defensive end for a while, they blew the play down because your goalie, Gibson, took a puck in the mask, and, you know, that they blow play down in that situation. I think you were ready to cook right there, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, you know, thinking about wheeling around the net there. I thought, you know, other team might be tired from, you know, they're in the O zone there for 30 or 40 seconds. So I was maybe going to take her around the net and see what unfolded. Sure some opportunities to, you know, skate it and stuff like that are definitely coming.
Yeah, for sure. It takes time. That NHL debut, the Anaheim Ducks put a lot into that. Like, you were like you're a bit of a rock star. Like, you pulled up in the vehicle. They had the video of you walking in. They showed your lap. Like, can you sense that you're a big part of the organization, even though, you know, you've only played just a handful of NHL games now?
I think that was pretty cool. I was grateful. You know, I kind of got a few of those, like, videos and stuff to look back on. Those are pretty special, I think. So that was nice. And then, I think it comes down to what type of person you are. Your on-ice performance kind of, you know, dictates your value in the organization. So, you know, it's kind of a never-ending evaluation where you need to continue to improve and improve yourself to keep your value high.
Not only that, but they bring you in and they say, okay, you're also in the first power play unit tonight. Okay. Was that a surprise to you, or did you expect that?
Yeah, I was, you know, I wasn't expecting that, because they definitely have some good players there that can also play that role. But a part of me thought, you know, maybe I would play there because, you know, that's kind of, you know, one of my strengths. So, yeah, it was pretty awesome. I think I was, we didn't have too many power plays for the four games, but, you know, I think we were building a little bit of chemistry, me, Leo, Terry, I played with McTavish on the power play before at World Junior.
That's so, right. Yep.
Yeah, that's some familiarity there.
Yeah, it was great. You got your first point on that redirect in front, made a good play just to get the puck on net, right? Like, I mean, you had the lane, so you have to take it in that opportunity. It's great, you know, and I guess are you going to play now in the AHL All-Star Game on the weekend? Is that the plan, or what's going on?
Yeah, so I'm playing tomorrow against Tucson, and then the next day against Colorado Eagles, and then I go to the AHL All-Star Game.
Nice. You'll be reunited there with a former Blazer teammate, Logan Stankoven, having an unbelievable year with Texas. That'll be nice to catch up with him. Have you guys stayed in touch at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I think we played them once this year, which was fun. But it'll be cool to see them there. And, yeah, I don't think we'll be on the same team because of the division. So, yeah, that'll be fun to play against them.
Are you surprised at all he's leading the American League in scoring right now? Like, you're one of the top defensive scorers, but are you surprised at all his season in Texas?
No, I mean, I think he's got a great, great offensive tool kid, obviously. He has a great shot. He's good on the power play. And it seems like him and his line have built a lot of good chemistry, and they're hard to defend. So, you know, they have that speed, and they can all kind of shoot. So that makes them a big threat. So, no, not really surprised.
Yeah, that was a great team, the Blazers, here last season. You came on board that massive deal. We all know the cost and, you know, what that social media graphic looked like with all the draft picks on it. That's probably followed you around a little bit in your pro career. Has anybody said, like, hey, you're the guy that was traded for, like, 15 pieces? Have you heard any of that since you turned pro?
A few guys know. That's kind of funny. But, yeah, I agree with you saying that. I think we had a great team. That was a ton of fun. Obviously, it would have been a lot better if we won. But, it was an unbelievable team we had there. And I mean, I get that not too often, but yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was amazing here. And the Blazers, by the way, just so you know, have basically recouped all of those draft picks and more this season, moving out some veterans that you would have played with here, you know, for a short time that you were here. Just a great player to watch. Our fans still get a kick out of it. We've been on the Let Zelly Cook here train for a while, so we want you to continue to cook. We'll watch you in the All-Star game in the American League here on the weekend. But great to touch base with you. I know you're very focused on the process and the game, so we get you here for 15 minutes while you're on the I-5 headed back to San Diego. Boy, life sure is tough in Anaheim to San Diego. Boy, sign me up for that. great stuff, Zelly. Thanks for touching base with us. We're going to keep on watching you here, and we know you got big things ahead here in your pro career. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Great to chat with Olin Zellweger. I think he's going to be a star. I think a few years down the road, he's going to be in those conversations with Cale Makar. He's going to be in those conversations with, like, Hughes, like Quinn Hughes. I think he's a guy that will be a high-end offensive defenseman in the WHL or in the NHL. In the NHL. Huh, sorry. Okay, so Prospects Corner. Mastodon Equipment Repair, our sponsor, your mobile servicing and repair specialists. They come up with the preventative maintenance programs for all your equipment, aerial work platform inspections, pre-purchase inspections. You don't want to buy a lemon. Mastodon Equipment Repair, they can help you get that vehicle in, take a look at it. They're on the move, of course. They're mobile. Mastodon Equipment Repair. Okay, let's revisit a prospect we talked about very early in the season. 2008 born forward JP Hurlbert, American Blazers first round pick in the U.S. prospects draft last summer. Was supposed to be a training camp, and then at the last moment something came up, didn't make it. He's a Dallas kid, and he just helped the United States win a gold medal at the Youth Olympics in Korea. In fact, in the semifinal against Canada, he scored the shootout winner in like round five. They went on to win gold. He is skilled. He has talked about JP Hurlbert as perhaps the best player in his age group in the U.S. and a handful of top players around the world. Like, we're talking right now, first round NHL pick, if he continues to progress. Now, the thing with JP, we bring him up because he just won a gold medal. And recently on YouTube, there's a feature on him. You can check that out. Just search JP Hurlbert and Clanko Media. And they asked JP about playing hockey in Texas.
People ask you what sport you play in Dallas and you say hockey. Like, they're all shocked.
JP's a personable kid. I spoke with him after the Blazers drafted him. It's kind of like a young cowboy, like a gunslinger. Like, he's going to be a good one. Plays for the Dallas Stars U16 elite team through 32 games this season, 31 goals, 57 points. Now, okay, his likelihood of playing here, probably slim, but I want the Blazers to go after them. It's the Dallas Stars junior elite program. Like, there is some hands and some connections there, for sure, isn't there? Of course. But he's going to have every opportunity in the U.S. Like, they're already saying he's a likely candidate for the U.S. National Development Program, sort of a fast track, you know, eventually into university or college down south. But he did say this. He did say this on that interview on YouTube.
I love playing against the older competition, stronger, faster, smarter. I love taking advantage of it, but I also love the competition.
So that said, if he wants to play against older players, well, WHL, Kamloops Blazers, test your best against 19 and 20-year-olds. Fast track him for the 2026 NHL draft. Again, a long shot. I think the Blazers will go after him hard. They haven't ever really landed a player from the Dallas Stars elite program, but the pieces and the connections are in place, you'd think. These players, though, they don't grow up thinking about the WHL. Like, that's not their... They don't go to bed dreaming of being a Vancouver Giant. I mean, the U.S. college hockey machine is pretty strong down there. So we'll have plenty of options for sure. But we thought we'd update you on JP Hurlbert today. Remember that name. It's for Prospects Corner for Mastodon Equipment. All right, let's do some buying and selling. It's for Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Royal LePage Realty, Kamloops, trusted real estate professionals. On the cell phone, 250-819-9332. And spring hits, also the time to be buying and selling. Why not list with Kyle Panasuk? And maybe if we ever see these rate decreases, that'll also spur a little bit of activity. Okay, so let's get into buying and selling. Lots to cover off today. WHL teams that are hot right now. We'll buy the teams that are hot. How about the Red Deer Rebels?
Bye, bye, bye!
Yeah, the hottest team going right now. Points in 13 straight games as we hit the weekend. At one point, they were like, are the Rebels going to make the playoffs? To now, what, 2 points back of Medicine Hat for the lead in the Central Division. Teams that are not hot right now, oh boy. The Tri-City Americans.
Sell, sell, sell!
5 straight losses as we speak. They've fallen out of a playoff spot. They're giving up too many goals. 201 now this season. The most in the WHL. Most in the West, I should say. Just 1 win in their last 12. What happened? What happened? It's like they went out and did their central swing and the wheels have fallen off. Like they at one point were in the conversation for 4-5 in the conference. And now it's like, are they going to make the playoffs? They have 6 head-to-head games here with the Spokane Chiefs. A lot of that could be decided in that set. We'll wait and see what happens. But, yeah, Spokane faltering too. Some of these teams that were banking on playoffs, for sure. Okay, I got to talk about this on buying and selling. Les Lazarek, he's been on the show before. In fact, just before the trade deadline, we had him on. The end of the game against the Swift Current Broncos. Overtime, Fraser Minton, friend of the show. I don't like him in a Blades jersey, though. I'll say that. He scored the overtime winner. Les Lazarek on the call.
Saunderson's out with Minton and Suzdalev. Minton wheels away from a couple. In on Matthew Ward. By him! In a goal! Scores! Winner, winner, chicken dinner! Fraser Minton! An incredible end-to-end rush! He deked out 3 guys and then deeks out Reed Dick and the Saskatoon Blades in their 3rd game in 3 nights against the team that had 8 days off. Defeat the Broncos by a final score of 3-2. Peace out, Billy. Peace out, Charlie Horse. Take that. 3-2, Saskatoon.
Okay, so what was that? Peace out, Billy. Peace out, Charlie Horse, he says. The peace out, Charlie Horse, that's the name of the Broncos mascot.
Sell, sell, sell.
And Les is obviously, you know, upset at the schedule fact that Blades were playing a bunch of games and the Broncos had like a week off. But I didn't know what peace out Billy was about. So I actually tweeted at Les and said, the only reference to peace out Billy that I can think of is like the Little Caesars pizza commercial when the girl tells the boy, peace out Billy, because he no longer could come through with the pizza or whatever it was. So, in fact, that's what it was. That's what it was. He talked about how that's where it came from. So, anyways, I don't know if we're buying or selling that, but I just thought I'd share it with everybody on the Blaze. Hey, I'm buying.
Buy, buy, buy!
Ashton Furster. Is he the Blazer Player of the Month for January? If not, he's in that conversation. Like, he is on finger 1, finger 2, or finger 3. I asked Ashton just about his recent step up in his game, seemingly right after the trade deadline.
I think at the start of the year, I was really focused on like playing the right way, being a leader in that way. And I think after the deadline, I kept focusing on it, and things kind of started to click there. You haven't played with a good line here, so it's starting to click.
Hey, I'm selling Facebook Marketplace. Oh, man, we've been dealing with
sell, sell, sell.
Facebook Marketplace for used cars, both selling and buying. For Stacy's daughter. And boy, that has been, that's a weird space, man. Like it can be effective. She sold her car sight unseen. Like some guy bought it over like just messaging. Like didn't come and look at it. You know, send your e-transfer here. And he did. Like bought it sight unseen, which is crazy. I would never buy a car like that. But just trying to get a vehicle now has been challenging for her. It's an odd place. Odd conversations, odd people. but it can be effective. Facebook Marketplace. We're selling. Hey, I'm selling the Kelowna Rockets after the game Saturday night there. Not so much just after, like during too. Like it got a little physical, chippy. We don't see much of that anymore. We used to see a whole lot more. So when it does happen, it's almost a bit like eye-opening. Because let's face it, the WHL was sort of built on tough physicality type of teams and players. So I asked Blake Svetlakov about that. The final moments of the game, Saturday, Kelowna tried to get into a brawl. They had like seven skaters on the ice. You know, their goalie come back and stand at center ice. Looks like he was engaging with Dylan Ernst to get something started. That's not going to happen. But I did ask Blake Svetlakov about it. He was on the ice there for the final seconds, and he, you know what? He enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you hear everything and see everything that the game is changing, but at the end of the day, there's still going to be those moments. Maybe they're a little bit more rare now, but there are going to be moments where emotions boil over and, you know, push starts to come to shove. So I think everyone on this team is ready for that and capable of it. And no matter who we're up against, we're going to take them on.
So yeah, we'll sell that. Still four games to go between those two teams, including next weekend, another home and home set. But I can tell you that weekend double loss did not sit well with the Rockets. They thought they would come in and win both of those games easily based on the Blazers selling off the deadline. And really, the Rockets have been adding parts of the season, like bringing in 19-year-old forwards. Done that three times now. So they felt it was going to be maybe easier than what it was. And in relation to that, I am buying the Blazer discipline. In the month of January, they gave up the fewest power plays in the WHL. Only 29 times did the other team go on the mat advantage. That was 2.9 power plays per game. Discipline. I mean, at times we've questioned it this year, but it's been excellent. January, only 29 power plays against, fewest in the WHL. So that's what's going on, buying and selling, everybody. And if you are buying or selling, Kyle Panasek, West Wynn, Royal LePage, Realty Kamloops, trusted real estate professionals, 250-819-9332. Thanks for playing along.
You've got mail.
Okay, it's fan mail for the Mattress King. A lot of people know they have mattresses, of course, but still some do not know out there. Where have you been? They have furniture. They have electronics. Mattress King, not just mattresses. Talk to Aaron for the best deals on new furniture, 421 Mount Paul Way. And I know that Aaron would have loved our guest this week. He is a big Olin Zellweger fan, and hopefully he caught the show this week. Okay, let's dip into the mailbag. Lots of mail activity. First question from Nathan Reeder at Nathan Reeder 14. He goes, who do you think is the most improved player in the WHL? He goes, one Blazer, one Western Conference player, one Eastern Conference player. He argues, tooth and nail, it should be goaltender for the Prince Albert Raiders, Max Hildebrand for the East. Okay, so as I tweeted to him, my sample size on the East, very limited, see these players live anyways once a year. So if it's Max Hildebrand, Nathan, out East, I'll take your word for it on that one. I said Max gets bonus marks for his Cobra Chicken celebration after they beat the Blades in the shootout. So there is that. Most improved in the West, three players for me that come to mind. Three players. In Vancouver, defenseman Colton Roberts. Like, he's come a long way from 16 to 17. Noticeable, like very noticeable right away. TJ Ginla barely played in Seattle last year, like barely played. I don't know what they didn't see in not playing TJ Ginla, but he's proven that he can score goals. 32, I believe. And speaking of goals, how about Zach Funk in Prince George? Like the season he's having, like he could score 60 this year. And I think you have to definitely respect that. So those are my three players, Nathan, Roberts, Aginla, Funk. Blazer, let's go Ashton Furster. He's really picked it up this year. He's been a reliable guy to lean on. Before that, I'd probably say like Dylan Sador before the Blazers traded him. Yeah, East, if you like Max Hildebrand, we'll go with Max Hildebrand. But good question, Nathan. Appreciate your feedback each and every week here on the Blaze. Let's continue here. What do we got? Mailbag. Frazzle at Frazzle Sports. He says, your thoughts on the brouhaha at the end of the game against Kelowna and how many rockets were on the ice after the horn. He goes, I still count six plus Kekkonen. You're right. That's what I have, too. Kekkonen did go to the bench for the extra attacker and then appears on the ice afterwards. Blazers, though, had someone on the ice that shouldn't have, too. Remember, they were down to four skaters at the end of the game. 6-on-4, they had the penalty against. Too many men on the ice call. So there was an extra Blazer that popped on the ice. I believe it was Harrison Brunick. Now, I want to say, the league took a fairly good look at this. And we thought that there may be some suspensions coming out of this. But the league looked at it and thought, okay, the extra players on the ice weren't involved, as the writing says, in a fight or altercation. So they decided to say no suspensions, nothing. But you're right. You do see Kekkonen back on the ice at center ice, somehow appearing after the game was over. Both teams did their best to hold their benches because that has the potential to be like a real Donnybrook, right? If you don't get control of the benches at the end of the game, the linesmen and really the coaching staff for both teams, it could be a bit of a gong show. But you're right, Frazzle. I counted them too. Blazers, though, for their part, weren't innocent either, okay? Okay, Stephen at the Slice. The Slice, Stephen in Victoria, always grinding with his tennis coverage. Goes 4 out of 5 wins. Gotta love it. What has been the biggest change in play since the trade deadline, in your opinion? Which players have stepped up the most? We've talked about some of those players already in the show. Ashton Furster, Emmett Finney, riding a lengthy point streak here to close out January. They've got improved goaltending. But I think the attitude has just been one of nothing to lose. And winning breeds winning like losing breeds losing. And I think there's some confidence here brewing. Some of the young players have stepped up to say, okay, this is my role. This is what I have to do to make an impact on the ice. Nathan Boehm scored a beauty of a winner. Set up Josh Kelly the next night. He's showing more offensive flair as a 16-year-old. So there's lots of reasons for this team, but I just think the mindset is flipped. Like, it's like, hey, we got nothing to lose. Let's go out. Got more confidence. They're in games. They're scoring goals. It's a good spot to be in right now. Question comes from Nevin at DJ Schneev. He goes, who's your pick to represent each league at the Memorial Cup this year? Lots of good talent in the O and the Q. Curious who you think will be heading to Saginaw in the spring. He says, could easily see London making it back. Rayon Noranda could also make a run as well. To be honest, Nevin, I haven't followed the OHL and the Q like we did on this show last year. Like, we had the whole coast-to-coast look at, you know, the potential teams we could see in Kamloops. So I haven't followed it as close. I know London's in the mix again over there. Easton Cowan, Bonk, and just the London effect. And apparently it's making everybody upset over there that London is again in the mix and a top team. I've heard a little bit about Baie-Comeau. The Drakkar have been, you know, a 1, 2, or 3 team ranked in the CHL top 10. WHL, boy, that's tough. As much as I don't want to say it, it might be Saskatoon. A Saskatoon-Portland final, perhaps. And at that point, it's just who has survived the war of attrition the best. Justin Jackson, Road Trip Beers. Like that handle. Justin goes, Kekkonen or Price get a talking to for after the whistle extracurriculars the other night? And he goes, is the city of Kelowna correct in finding a new operator for Prospera? It needs work, he says. And do you have any insider information on the Storm and other Tier 2 Junior A teams in the process to create a new league? Lots of questions this week from Justin. Kekkonen and Price, I believe they have rescinded that game misconduct for Caden Price for the end of the game. He just beelines in there. Linesman grabbing everybody, making sure that couldn't get out of control. Jari Kekkonen, for me, I mean, that's just a bluff. Like, Jari Kekkonen's not a guy that is a tough guy or a fighter. Like, that's not the way he carries himself away from the ice surface at all. That's just more of a probably comes from the bench, you know, type of thing. I don't know if they got a talking to. No suspensions out of that. Prospera, city of Kelowna. Every time we go there, there's some sort of complaint about the building. Well, here's the other side. Here's the inside scoop to that, Justin. The owner of the Victoria Royals also owns the two rinks in Victoria, and you guessed it, Kelowna. So there's a bit of a, that's a bit of a stalemate right there, because the Rockets, of course, play in Prospera, and the owner is based in Victoria with his two rinks there in the Royals. So it's a building development is what they do. So there's talk about that. I saw there was a story in Castanet or something about a new operator. That will likely come to a head at some point here. I'm not sure when, but there's been no doubt a lot of talk. And Justin, talking about all this Tier 2 Junior A stuff, yeah, I guess we'll see. The Kamloops Storm have said that they are still pursuing Tier 1 over the next 2 years here to be a Tier 1 franchise. They likely get there. Several teams will not get there or have no interest in keeping up with the Joneses in that KIJHL sort of a Tier 1 option. Probably stick back to a Tier 2. I'm talking about Chase, Golden, Revelstoke. I just don't see these teams, you know, chasing Tier 1 status. But boy, the landscape of junior hockey in Western Canada at the Junior A level is going through it right now, aren't they? Further to that, Rambo at John Rambin goes, love to hear your opinion on the rumors that the CHL and the NCAA are close to working out a way that the CHL players can still retain Division I eligibility and the impacts it would have. Boy, that was a hot rumor that came out this week, that the CHL and the NCAA could reach an agreement at some point, which would save eligibility for WHL graduate players. Can you believe that? Now, if you're a junior A team like the BCHL, that's the last thing you want. Like, that is pack it up right there. Like, that's checkmate. It would completely change how those teams operate and the players they get. It would be massive. It'd be a massive blow. That said, just a rumor. There was talk of, you know, this deal being done in the next 12 to 18 months. I just don't really see it as of yet. We'll wait and see on that. Seems like everybody in the BCHL right now is angry, upset with the AJ, upset with Hockey Canada. And for the most part, I've stayed out of this because my thing is like, okay, how does it affect the WHL? And we haven't really seen any effects. If anything, it's helped. It's helped recruit the BC players to the Western Hockey League. The fact that some of those roster spots are now being taken in the BCHL by Americans, Europeans, players from Eastern Canada. So it hasn't benefited BC hockey players, you know, the top talent, the top the top tier. So we'll see what happens. Again, I've stayed out of this because hasn't really affected the WHL. It's not a direct rival or competition with the WHL. I think the BCHL is doing this, and now these five teams from the AJ coming on board to compete with the USHL, to compete with them, another, you know, Junior A league. So that's where I'm at on that. Although it just seems like everybody in the BCHL is so upset. Like everybody has a chip on their shoulder. The media that covers them, team executives, it just seems like there's so much like venom out there towards Hockey Canada, towards the AJHL, who lost really five flagship teams this week. I don't know where it goes, folks. I don't know where it goes. We'll see. Aaron Cassidy, ACAST 22. At this point, if you're Dallas, do you let Stank cook all year in Texas or see what he has at the NHL level at the expense of scratching a healthy forward? I don't think anybody expected this to drag on to February, Aaron. Like, Dallas, I'm sure, would have loved to call up Logan and probably Maverick Bork by now. It just hasn't happened. They've been healthy. They've had no injuries basically all year. They haven't had an opportunity. It seems like they're almost apologetic that they haven't done it yet. So with that in mind, I still think a call-up is coming. Did I think it would be February? No. Was I thinking November, December? Yes. So it's odd. You know what? Like Logan Stankoven would have made his NHL debut with probably 30 of the 32 teams by now, leading the AHL in scoring. And still without that call-up. That has to be frustrating for the Stankoven camp for sure. We've been holding off on getting Logan on the show, chatting with him. We've been waiting for that NHL debut to happen. Then we'd circle back on that. We've been waiting out of February. Pretty crazy. We got a lot of questions this week. Warm Up the Bus says, what do you think certain teams in the WHL, why do they struggle with attendance? That's a tough question. Have to have a competitive product on the ice, first of all. And a really good team, a championship caliber team, will do that. We're not quite seeing the numbers reflecting in Prince George yet. Kelowna's had a maybe sort of been stagnant the last couple of years. Blazer attendance for now is holding. It's been really strong again this season. I don't know. My thoughts in Kelowna is that, like, it's just not, it's not the thing to do. Like, it's not the trendy thing to do in Kelowna. And we all know that it's all about the trendy thing to do down there, right? And just for whatever reason, it isn't. It used to be like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? We're going to the Rockets game. We're going to go over to, you know, some pub after the game and talk about how great we are. You know, but we just don't see that anymore. It's just not the happening thing to do. It can get back to that, but usually that takes like a playoff run to ignite that again. And we've had that here. It's the thing to do in Kamloops. It's the thing to do. Go to the Blazer game. Go with your family. Go with friends. Have a good time with the game. It's the thing to do. You have to establish that in your market as the thing to do. And Kamloops and the Blazers right now, they have that. But that's a good question. Warm Up the Bus. Definitely worth talking about. On Patrol, the Sheriff 24. What's a jersey logo combo in the WHL that's been put to rest by their respective team that you think is better than their current logo? I know they have moved and rebranded multiple times, but he says he misses the old Kootenay Ice logo. Yeah, they had a good one, right? That abominable snowman. They did a good job with that. And they had to rebrand. That's a good question. You know, I like what the Swift Current Broncos did. They rebranded back to the horseshoe and the bucking bronco. They got away from, you know, their other logos and things like that. So, I mean, that's probably one. I looked at all the logos and I thought, I don't know. Portland was forced to rebrand based on cultural sensitivity or what have you. But, yeah, I get what you're saying, Sheriff. I get what you're saying. Time for one more. Brotherhood of Blazer goalies named Dylan. With SVO gone, Shea Van Olme's referring to. With him gone, who has taken over the music in the dressing room? That is Kai Matthew. Kai Matthew is the guy now. He's the man with the plan and the song list. So there you go. Maybe I can give you some information on that. Kai Matthew, the new music man. That is an extended fan mail this week for the Mattress King. All right, we wrap up episode 19 with closing remarks for Len at Pleasure Pools Plus. He's another day one on the Blaze. Appreciate Pleasure Pools Plus, where you can check out their massive roster of affordable H2O Cal and Sundance spas. They do hot tub repairs, service, and advice. Talk to Len, Siri, and their staff today. Okay, Lenny, we got to get you back on the show here again, don't we? What a week it was. In fact, it was some good downtime for this team. But you often wonder, like, okay, like, would you rather just keep playing knowing that you're on a roll? It's like you have to do like a whole reset when you drop the puck Friday. Join us Friday night on Radio NL, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We had a fun show today. It's great to get Olin Zellweger on the Blaze. As you know, if you listen to this, we've been aboard the Zelly train here for a while. We got to get him that t-shirt that says, let Zelly cook, as he's taping his stick at the Honda Center on the bench before the game. Wouldn't that be something, too? It was great. He could join us somewhere on I-5 between, where was he? Somewhere between San Diego and Anaheim. If you're ever down in that area, don't take I-5 between those two cities. Take the Pacific Coast Highway and thank me later. Little highway that kind of winds oceanside here. That's living right there for sure. Great show, great guests, great sponsors, great fans, great feedback. Thank you so much. Thanks to everybody that plays along with us on Twitter, that asks us a question, that is part of the show, that downloads it, that plays it, that listens on Radio NL Fridays and Sunday. We appreciate you, everybody. We're through 19 episodes. We'll do it again next week for episode 20. It is The Blaze. It is for our title sponsor, River Shore Golf Links.